Welcome to Media and Monuments, presented by Women in Film and Video in Washington, D.C. Media and Monuments features conversations with industry professionals speaking on a range of topics of interest to screen-based media makers.
Ultra-Orthodox women living in Israel are seeking to have their voices heard through the political system in the award-winning Israeli documentary entitled Women of Valor. The film follows the odyssey of Esti as she pushes to change the law for Hadari women to be an elected representative and serve in the Knesset, which is forbidden. All the while, she follows her Orthodox lifestyle. I'm your host, Sandra Abrams, and in this episode, I'm chatting with the director and writer, Anna Sommershoff. Let me tell you a little bit about Anna. Anna Sommershoff is an Israeli documentary filmmaker and producer born in Moscow and immigrated to Tel Aviv in her childhood. Her films deal with social-political burning issues. She's the director and producer of this film, and we are delighted to be speaking with her. Among her previous projects as a director is Jihad Now, a TV series about global jihad, and Holy Land, documentary about a Guyana pastor of migrant workers. In addition to her filmmaking activity, she also teaches documentary and research at the cinema department at Beit Bert. I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
Girl College.
Wonderful. She also went to school at Safar College Film School and got her BFS, participated in an international program in Paris, we'll ask her about that, and completed her MA in Cultural Studies in Tel Aviv University. Welcome, Anna, to Media and Monuments.
Thank you, Sandra. So good to be here with you.
Now, we had originally met in September last year, Washington, D.C., at the D.C. JCC, where you showed your film, Women of Valor. And we had planned to chat about on a podcast last October, but then the Hamas attack happened in Israel on October 7th. So I'm glad we're able to connect now. How are you doing and how's your family?
Thank you. Well, that's how am I doing? It's a question for a whole podcast, but I'll just say briefly that it seems like it was in a different reality where we met. And it was a very, and still is a very, very challenging time in so many ways. But we're okay. And our close family and friends are alive. So that's a lot in these days. And it was very hard. The first month was even like, I couldn't really imagine how can we talk about art? How can we talk about films? It's like everything stopped. And as time went by and the shock levels got used to everything. It's very, very sad. But then I realized how this film is actually becoming much more relevant because the place of women in our society and in our world is our voice is missing. We still don't have enough women to dictate things and to move for a better future.
Well, let's talk more about your film because I did briefly speak about it in the intro. But maybe you can give a little more insight about what this film is about.
So there are about 600,000 ultra-Orthodox women in Israel. It's quite a big society, which is divided into many, many smaller societies. But many, they're represented by two parliament parties, Shas and Agudat Israel. And these parties who sit officially in the Israeli parliament do not accept women. It's an historic thing. There are a lot of cultural explanation. Of course, there are a lot of religious excuses, although it is only excuse. Nowadays, ultra-Orthodox women are everywhere. They study, they provide, they work, they do everything. So the fact that they are not represented, it's something you cannot imagine how it's possible in 2024. And, about, 11 years ago, Esti Shushan, the brave and incredible woman who started this movement, she just stood up and she said, this can't just happen. And she paid a big price for this fight. And the film actually documents this journey. I was with them for 5 years, and I documented how more and more brave women joined this struggle, what prices they paid, and eventually the baby steps that they did to open up and to prepare for a better future for their daughters, hopefully, and maybe granddaughters.
One of the things that I found interesting is, given your background, you're from Moscow, you go to Tel Aviv, you are not part of the ultra-Orthodox community. So how did you even find this film or find out about what was happening or find the information? Because that in and of itself, it sounds like it was a journey.
Yeah, so that's itself is a film. But yeah, I'm not ultra-Orthodox. I'm not even religious. I'm secular. And actually, I had no connection with the ultra-Orthodox women. The things I knew was from the media, and it wasn't really good things. Like, it was very stereotyped, thinking about weak, poor women who don't raise their voice and who just do like whatever is needed and whatever they are told. And then I went to my master's degree in Tel Aviv University, where I met one of the activists, the another person who is in the movie. And she just blew my mind. Like, when she told her story, I saw this independent, strong, intelligent woman. And I said, like, how come I never met this kind of women? How come I never heard about this struggle? And actually, I knew the same day that this is going to be my film, my next film. It took me a while to convince them because it's not easy to let a camera into your life, especially when you're ultra-Orthodox, and it's very complicated, but that's how it all started.
And they see their role as the suffragettes who are continuing what was originally done. The suffragettes came along, so they see themselves as pushing forth on that end and saying, okay, well, the suffragettes did this, so we can do and move forward on that.
Yeah, I think it's very important to remember that social struggles, it's always layered and it always like sits on previous struggles. So the fact that we today have, as women, have license and bank accounts and we can vote, it's not something we can take for granted. And I really appreciate the fact that they give this, they understand that they have to, they are sitting on bigger shoulders. And for me, when I documented them for this past 5 years, I sometimes have to pinch myself, not believing, because I was feeling like I'm there with the suffragettes 100 years ago. So yeah, history repeats itself. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to fight the same struggles again and again and again. But hopefully there's also some optimism for change.
Let's hope so. We need that change. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, though, you did mention about it took over 5 years. One of the things that happens with films, the funding. So how did you, A, keep going and convince them that continue to have cameras in their lives? And B, the funding for this, and you and your teammates, you know, in putting this documentary together, how did you say, okay, we're going to keep going on this? Because that is a long time to stick with a particular subject.
Yes. So that's a very good question, because that's part of the problems why many people start filming and don't finish their films. We depend on funds. Most of us are not rich.
Documentary filmmaking is very expensive.
Yes, because it requires a lot of time and a crew, and the editing work is very, very long, because you have to reshape and go again and again and again until you really find the right way to tell the story. And there are so many shooting days that are just left on the editing floor. But that's part of the process. And that's also why I also love this process. So yeah, it's a lot about believing in the story and knowing somewhere deep inside that this is the story that I have to tell. I'm not doing films just to entertain or just to, you know, go to festivals, because that's nice, but that's not enough to keep you waking up. Of course, not every morning you do this, you work on this film, but still it's something that is, it's there always, and you try to think how to make it better. And then applying again and again and again. I think I did about 80 submissions. Yes, that's crazy. I know, it's a crazy
80
number.
Submissions. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I got just a small part of it. But it's all about having the right team with you. I had this co-producer, Tal Barda, and I have an amazing cinematographer, Emmanuel Meyer, and my editor, Tal Blog. It's a very strong team of women who really believed in this. So this also gave me the power to move forward and not to give up.
And how did you find your team of people? Because that really makes a difference, especially when you're sitting in the editing room and trying to put that footage together. And as you know, it did take you many years to do that.
Yeah. So first of all, it was important for me in this particular project, although since that I continue to do that, to work with my women. I'm not against working with men. I really love working with men. Even my husband is an editor. But there's something in this story that allowed me to create this intimacy. I had also a sound person, and it was very, very helpful. I'm in this field of cinema for a while, so I already got to know some of the people. Some of them, it was the first time I worked with them, but now I continue to work with them on other projects. So it was a really great experience.
Well, that's wonderful. And in fact, the film has won Best Feature International Documentary at the Richmond International Film Festival last year. And I think you also mentioned it has won another Best Film Prize.
The Kyrgyzstan Human Rights Festival, Film Festival, and it was really screened around the world. And for me, it's such an amazing, I mean, awards are really nice. But for me, meeting with the audience and seeing how each one sees this story and how it reflects on people's lives, because it's not only a story about ultra-Orthodox women. It's about liberation of women. It's about solidarity. It's about human rights. I was really like in the States, and I was in the Holland, and I was in Israel and in many different places. I get to see how people react to it. And it's no longer the way I see the film. It's now the connection that the audience has with the film. And that's, I love this.
That's an excellent point. Getting your film out there and meeting the people. So what's next for the film? Are you going to be coming to any more film festivals?
Yeah, so we have a screening in the San Diego Film Fest, a Jewish Film Festival in February. The film was released in 2021, but we're still continuing, and we, from time to time, we have other new festivals. And also, in addition, we're always looking for ways to screen the film to other publics, to academics, to communities, to really give the strength to people to understand that social struggles are very difficult, but they are possible.
Well, what's going on with Esty now? How is she doing?
So she's doing fine. She's, I mean, relatively, because her son is also in the reserve duties, and it's not easy. She's very, very talented person, and it's only 1% of her talents that got into the film, because she just directed a fiction film, actually.
Oh, so she became a director. That's fantastic.
She did study cinema before she met me, so I can't take the credit for it. But she did a fiction film, which is also talks about very, very interesting and important issues inside the Orthodox community. She also writes poetry and many, many other things. But among others, I think in this time, she understood that there is this distance inside the Israeli community between the ultra-Orthodox and the secular community, because, you know, ultra-Orthodox usually don't go to the army, and they're usually having their own communities, and there's a lot of sometimes ignorance, but also hatred between the groups. I think that what the government is usually trying to do is just to separate us and divide us, so we won't all understand that we're actually facing the same problems and that we won't unite. So what she did was arranging many ultra-Orthodox women to help just after the 7th to help with preparing things for the army, for preparing things for citizens, for arranging food and clothes and just coming all together, which is something that we saw in the whole Israeli society after this terrible massacre, that people came together and said, we're not trusting anyone to save us. We need to find our own solutions and to help each other.
So in many ways, this movement has helped her expand beyond where she was originally doing with her life and also helped her find her voice. And hopefully other people will see this film in that community, but around the world, and say, oh, well, if she can do that in the ultra-Orthodox community, we can do that in our community. And that's just such a beautiful message that you're putting out there with your film. It's really fantastic.
Thank you. I'm an optimistic person, and I usually try to bring optimism, and have to say that along the way, I heard so many people saying, but do they have any chance? And I have to admit that after all this time, I know that they will manage, and we can definitely learn from them and also to help them, because it's not only their problem. It's my problem as an Israeli secular woman whose place in this world is not secured. It also influences me, the fact that there are so many chairs in the Israeli parliament or in the city halls that are not secured for women.
What I wanted to just circle back now, you went to school, not film school, not in the United States. And we have many people who go, oh, I went to NYU and I went here in the United States for film school. Tell us about your experience going to film school in Israel. And then you did a program in Paris as well. And how did that shape your filmmaking?
I went to film school in Sderot. I guess now everybody heard about this city. And it was really a lovely experience. The sense of community and the sense of, you're living there with this beautiful nature in the South, and you're just trying to connect to communities that you're less familiar with. I'm from Tel Aviv, from the big city. So here it's like pretty much, you know, like a modern, international place, but then you get to meet different people and make cinema that really sees people and really make a change. So that's something that I came with, to my studies, but it also developed a lot during my studies there. I also met my husband there, so it's a nice, extra touch. Yeah, and then I had this amazing opportunity to make a one semester in Paris in the Famis Film School, which is one of the biggest film schools, most important one in France. So again, it being thrown to a different culture, different language, it was also meeting people from all over the world. There were people from really so many countries there. So, and also we didn't talk about it a lot, but I'm also an immigrant. So, I think the fact that I came here when I was little, I was always feeling Israeli, but I also looked at the society and the cultures a little bit also from outside. So for me, being a filmmaker it allows me to really look at all these places, all these cultures, all these people, all these points of view, and bringing them to the public, because sometimes we just don't see, we just don't look, we just don't know that it exists.
It sounds like good advice that you're giving to people who are filmmakers or want to be filmmakers. Any other advice that you would offer to them in starting a project such, you know, if they say, I want to do a documentary film?
Patience, be patient. And this is something that is very hard for me also sometimes. But when you set your goal, you just have to keep your eyes on it. And sometimes it looks impossible, but then you take a step back and you then try to find another way. If the door is closed, then you come from the window, right? And surrounding yourself with great, great people who will encourage you, who will help you, and who will also sometimes question or make you think better about things you do or things you say, not to take anything for granted. And maybe I would also say that it's important to know what you want, but also be open that the, because reality is like, I call it the gods of film, of documentaries. Like you can never imagine what happened, what will happen. So sometimes you also have to be open enough to see the opportunities that are coming to your direction.
That's what I felt like when watching your film, that you didn't know what would happen and the twists and turns that I saw. I was like, wow, had you stopped filming after a year or two, then you would not have seen the road and the path that the different people went on. And I thought that's what made your film so beautiful and why I loved it so much.
Thank you so much. Although, you know, that it's funny because some of the things that happened in the film, I wrote because we have to write a script to submit to funds. So you can, if you look at my first submissions, there were all the elements. I just didn't know how it will come out. But when it's something magical, really. I can't explain it.
So you have some script idea, but there are elements of surprise. Is that what you're saying goes along?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know where you, it depends on the kind of the film. This kind of film is, it's really depends on the movement and on reality, right? If I'm doing a film about something that already historical, that already happened, maybe it will be easier for me to shape the narrative. But yeah, of course, I have to show that I know where, that I know how I would like to tell the story, even if eventually the story will be different.
So what are you doing now? Is there a particular script that you're working on? Is a particular film development that's happening?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on two new films, documentaries as a director, which is crazy because usually you develop something, you film something, you're in post-production, but now it's like all together, but it's very exciting. Both projects related to women as well.
Yay!
So. Yeah, I mean, this, our stories are so interesting and they're not told enough. It's not that I decided I will only tell stories of women, but they're so powerful. And we need to speak out up and we need to be heard because sometimes we have really interesting, important things to say. So shortly I'll say that one project is about, the women in Israeli society from the establishment of Israel, through the eyes of a women magazine, that is, still until today exists. It's called Leisha for the woman. And it's fascinating. It's really a historic, very, very interesting project. And the other very exciting project that I'm working on is about, mostly women, but of course there are also men there, from an organization called United Atzala. Who are volunteers and they save people's lives.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. That's great. So when you, I wanted to ask you though, you mentioned about doing the historic project. How do you go about finding your source material? Because I know that that's an issue here in the United States. People have to go and find their source material. Then they have to do the fundraising to pay for the source material. What's happening on that end when you look at for historical and source of information?
So my colleague who was, it was like her initiative of this project. She's also doing the research, the visual research. It's a long process and it's quite expensive process. But that's all part of the, what we have. Like we have a TV channel that secured its funds and now we're working to create a trailer and to show what we can bring out and then hopefully raise more money. So it's a risk. Nobody can promise you that you will get to the ending point. But when you know that you have a good story, and you have a great team around you, eventually it will happen. Hopefully it won't take 5 years this time.
Well, we look forward to those two upcoming films, hopefully sooner rather than later. I wanted to take a moment, though, and ask about what's happening with the Israeli film community at this time. Are people still doing projects? People still going out and filming? Any insight that you can give to that situation?
Yeah, so it's a very, very difficult time also for the because the film community, the documentary film community, have this obligation or wish or desire to tell the stories of so many victims that were killed and suffered and raped and whatever on this attack and beyond. And so at first many of the community members just volunteered to film, to tell their story, to tell the story of the families of the kidnapped people, because there are so many kidnapped people who are stuck in the Hamas captivity, and their story is not heard. So there was a lot of like a movement of people trying to do something. But then after all, we also have to pay the rent. So it's a very, very challenging time, because we all want to be there and to help and to tell the stories, but we also need to get back to our projects and to the things that we, the other stories that we want to tell. So yeah, it's not easy. Also in the fiction world, many productions stopped, and it's like domino, right? When there are not enough, shooting going, then you cannot edit, then everybody lose their work. So it's not an easy time, but you know, on the other hand, always trying to remember that like there's so much human suffering right now in this area. So it's all in this context.
Well, and I'm very excited for you and your film. Where's the film going to be shown? In the San Diego Film Festival coming up in February. We may be watching this and listening to this podcast after that fact. But if people want to find out more information about their film, where can they go and learn more about Women of Valor?
Yeah, so I can put you a Facebook page link, and then you can we update there all the next screenings that we will have. And from time to time, we also have online screenings. And if people want to even book an online screening, they can also reach me. There will be other options to watch the film.
The documentary is Women of Valor. It's 1 hour and 16 minutes long. It's directed by Anna Somerschaft and written by Anna and Tal Brug. And on behalf of Media and Monuments, I want to say thank you so much, Anna, for being with us, and stay safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me this voice, this platform.
Thank you for listening to Media and Monuments, a service of Women in Film and Video. Please remember to review, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. For more information about WIF, please visit our website at wif.org. Media and Monuments is produced by Sandra Abrams, Candace Block, Brandon Ferry, and Tara Jabari, and edited by Emma Klein and Juliana Yellen, with audio production and mix by Steve Lack Audio. For more information about our podcast, visit mediaandmonuments.com.